Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. We're in Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. This is God's word. "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city.' So Joshua and the whole army moved out to attack Ai. He chose 30,000 of his best fighting men and set them out at night with these orders. Listen carefully. You are to set an ambush behind the city. Don't go very far from it. All of you, be on the alert. I and those with me will advance on the city, and when the men come out against us, as they did before, we will flee from them. They will pursue us until we have lured them away from the city, for they will say they are running away from us as they did before. So when we flee from them, you are to rise up from ambush and take the city. The Lord your God will give it into your hand. When you have taken the city, set it on fire. Do what the Lord has commanded. See to it. You have my orders." Then Joshua sent them off, and they went to the place of ambush and lay in wait between Bethel and Ai, to the west of Ai. But Joshua spent that night with the people. Early the next morning, Joshua mustered his men, and he and the leaders of Israel marched before them to Ai. The entire force that was with him marched up and approached the city and arrived in front of it. They set up camp north of Ai with the valley between them and the city. Joshua had taken about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai to the west of the city. They had the soldiers take up their positions, all those in the camp to the north of the city, and the ambush to the west of it. That night Joshua went into the valley. When the king of Ai saw this, he and all the men of the city hurried out early in the morning to meet Israel in battle at a certain place overlooking the Arabah. But he did not know that an ambush had been set against him behind the city. Joshua and all Israel let themselves be driven back before them, and they fled toward the desert. All the men of Ai were called to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were lured away from the city. Not a man remained in Ai or Bethel who did not go after Israel. They left the city open and went in pursuit of Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Hold out toward Ai the javelin that is in your hand, for into your hand I will deliver the city." So Joshua held out his javelin toward Ai. As soon as he did this, the men in ambush rose quickly from their position and rushed forward. They entered the city and captured it and quickly set it on fire. The men of Ai looked back and saw the smoke of the city rising against the sky, but they had no chance to escape in any direction, for the Israelites who had been fleeing toward the desert had turned back against their pursuers. For when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke was going up from the city, they turned around and attacked the men of Ai. The men of the ambush also came out of the city against them, so that they were caught in the middle with Israelites on both sides. Israel cut them down, leaving them neither survivors nor fugitives. But they took the king of Ai alive and brought him to Joshua. When Israel had finished killing all the men of Ai in the fields and in the desert where they had chased them, and when every one of them had been put to the sword, all the Israelites returned to Ai and killed those who were in it. 12,000 men and women fell that day, all the people of Ai, for Joshua did not draw back the hand that held out his javelin until he had destroyed all who lived in Ai. But Israel did carry off for themselves the livestock and plunder of this city, as the Lord had instructed Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a permanent heap of ruins, a desolate place to this day. He hung the king of Ai on a tree and left him there until evening. At sunset, Joshua ordered them to take his body from the tree and throw it down at the entrance of the city gate. And they raised a large pile of rocks over it, which remains to this day. Then Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones on which no iron tool had been used. On it they offered to the Lord burnt offerings and sacrificed fellowship offerings. There, in the presence of the Israelites, Joshua copied on stones the law of Moses which he had written. All Israel, aliens and citizens alike, with their elders, officials, and judges, were standing on both sides of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, facing those who carried it, the priests who were Levites. Half of the people stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had formerly commanded when he gave them instructions to bless the people of Israel. Afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the aliens who lived among them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Well, it's an awful lot of bloodshed. That's a lot of people getting killed, thousands of people. And it included everybody. Is that really okay? Yes. Well, why is that okay? I mean, today, if we heard about that in the news where a military group went into a city and killed everybody, men, women, and children, I mean, they're all killed, we'd say that's an atrocity. That's horrible. That's terrible. And we'd be right. So what makes it okay here? Well, back the tape up a little bit. Do you remember a fellow by the name of Noah? Do you remember him? Remember Noah? God looked and he saw that the wickedness of people on earth was so great that he decided to wipe out everybody except Noah and his family and start over again. Now, please notice, Noah did not decide that the wickedness of everybody on earth was so great that he was going to turn on the waterworks and flood all his neighbors. Okay? The destruction in Noah's day was God's doing. It was God's judgment. And God has a right to take life. Because God is the creator of life. There would be no such thing as life if it were not for God creating life. So when God says, your time is up, guess what? Your time is up. I don't care if the doctor just said, you're in great shape. You may be in great shape. But a piano can fall on your head. All right? And then you won't be in such great shape anymore. On the other hand, the doctors can look at you and say, I am so sorry. There's nothing more we can do. You need to put your affairs in order because I think at most you have about 4 months. And 20 years later, you're still doing well. Why? Because God is in charge. God is the one who decides if you're going to live and how long. So if the Israelites had decided, hey, Ai looks like a pretty cool place. We're just going to go in there and wipe those people out because we want their stuff. That would be an atrocity. That would be evil. But in this case, Israel was acting as God's instrument of vengeance to destroy his enemies. Enemies of God. People who had said in response to what they knew of right and wrong, I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to have what I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I don't care. I'm doing this. Now, the problem with that is, you understand, I've just described the human condition. I've just described the human heart. That is our bent by nature. We want what we want, the way we want it, when we want it. And as a result of that wickedness, trying to put ourselves in the place of God, we all deserve to die. So when God decides to take some people out, whether it's in the time of Noah or here at the city of Ai, none of us has a right to say, hey, that's not fair. It's not okay if we decide to do that to each other. It is totally legitimate when God, the ruler of the universe, says, time's up. Those people are done. Is that clear? That's what's going on here. This is not the Israelites going in and ruthlessly conducting conquest of the land. When the Israelites tried in their own strength to defeat the city of Ai, the Israelites lost. Because God, remember the last chapter? God said, I have made them liable to destruction. And so the Israelites in that situation could not stand against the people of Ai. Now, Israel has repented. They've done what God said needed to be done regarding Achan and his family and the things that had been taken that were to be devoted to God for destruction. Now that they've obeyed God and those things have been destroyed and Achan and his family have been destroyed, now that that's happened, God says, okay, now I've delivered Ai into your hand. So he starts out by saying, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Remember last time when we were looking at Joshua? He was pretty afraid and discouraged. He thought things were going to be disastrous. And instead of disaster, God says, no, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I've delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Why couldn't we do that at Jericho? God says, because I said not. Well, why is it okay to do it now? Because I said you may. Did you know that God doesn't tell everybody the same thing on every situation? God repeatedly, Old and New Testament, says these people can do this. You can't do that. Well, why do I get to do it? Because I told them they could and I told you not to. It seems to me if they get to do it, I ought to get to do it. God says, no, I told you not to. Why do certain people get certain spiritual gifts and certain functions within the church and other people are told, no, that's not for you? That doesn't seem fair. It's not very democratic. I don't think that's American. Well, maybe the American brand of democratic republic is not completely consistent with God's monarchy. Because guess what? The universe is not a democracy. The universe is governed by a king. Welcome to the kingdom, children. God invites us to be in a relationship with him where he is our loving father and he is our Lord. He is our ruler. And we are to submit ourselves to his authority, and that means we do what he says. God says, go in here, do this, do it this way, and you may not take any of the plunder. The very next city they conquer, God says, go into this place, do it this way, and you may take plunder. Sometimes you can take plunder, sometimes you may not take plunder. How do we know? Ask God. God wants us in relationship with him, in communication with him, in dependence on him, in obedience to him. God wants us to walk with him. Now let me tell you something. God will never, ever, ever contradict himself. God will never contradict himself. I don't have to pray about whether or not it's okay for me to commit adultery. Okay? That's not one of those things that changes from time to time. Plunder, on the other hand, that's a variable. So you got to stay in the Word, know what God says, and realize there are some areas where God will allow this person to do this, but not this person. God will allow this person to do this on this occasion, but not on this occasion. And you just walk with Him in obedience to Him.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Take the whole army. This is one more thing. God says, take the whole army. God could easily have said, as he would do with Gideon, I only want you to take 300 men. Okay, last time he sent 3,000, they got defeated. This time, I'm going to give you a victory with 300 guys. Now, if I were writing the script, if I was, you know, kind of the storyline consultant here, meeting with the movie producer, I would say, you know, I think it'd be a really cool thing. I know God does this sometimes. I think it'd be really cool. This would be a great moment for this. Let's just send 300 guys up there and using those 300 guys, defeat the city of Ai. I think that would be really cool. And I know, you know, with God's power, we can do that. I mean, that's absolutely doable. Well, it is absolutely doable, but it's not what God chose to do in this situation. And as I wonder why, I think maybe in part because he's having to say to Joshua here at the beginning, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. And so he lets him take the whole army with him. Take the whole army, okay? Go ahead and go. Here's what we're going to do. And he gives him a strategy, and the strategy is military intelligence. Brilliant, okay? He says, we're going to do an ambush. Look at verse 2, the last phrase. Set an ambush behind the city. The Lord tells him, you're going to set some of the guys over here. You guys are going to go here. You're going to lure the people away. They're going to come out after you. Then these guys are going to go in. They're going to set the city on fire. And then you're going to have the enemy army sandwiched between two divisions of your army. I mean, that's good. So they did what God told them to do. And it was very effective. We read the story. We see how it worked. Please notice verse 8. Joshua's instruction, when he tells them what to do, he says, do what the Lord has commanded. Do you know the smartest thing you can ever do? Do what the Lord has commanded. Most intelligent thing you can ever do in your life is to obey God. There is no such thing as smarter than that. Do what the Lord has commanded. Verse 18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, hold out toward Ai the javelin that is in your hand, for into your hand I'll deliver the city. So Joshua held out his javelin toward Ai, and as soon as he did this, the men in the ambush rose quickly from their position and rushed forward. They entered the city and captured it and quickly set it on fire. Please notice this. Not only was he doing what the Lord told him, he did it as the Lord told him. In other words, the timing was set by God. God didn't say, you just go out there and do your best. He is still in the midst of a battle where it's a little bit harried, okay? We're running at this point from the guys who are chasing us. And God said, okay, now's the time. In the midst of a battle, he's still listening to God. He's obedient. And when God says, now's the time, that's when he does it. And immediately, the whole situation begins to turn. I cannot emphasize enough that part of obedience is timing. It's not just doing the right thing. It's doing the right thing at the right time. How do I know when it's the right time? Relationship. Walk with God. Listen to Him. Stay in the Word. Be obedient to what he's told you. If God says wait, wait. If God says go, go. If you say, I'm not sure, tell him. Because if you're determined to do whatever God says, God will do whatever it takes to make his will clear to you. But if what you want is to know what God says so that you can decide if that's what you want to do, forget it. Good luck with that. But if you have decided Jesus is Lord, he's my king, I want to do what he says, don't worry. He'll make sure you know what you're supposed to do. Timing is critical. And so then the Lord said to Joshua, hold out toward Ai the javelin that is in your hand. They did what God said. God gave the victory. In verse 27, they did carry off for themselves the livestock and plunder of the city. Then what happens? Then they renewed their covenant with God. After they have had this tremendous victory that God gave them as they obeyed his strategy, and they've had this wonderful, wonderful success, then they meet together and they worship the Lord. They worshiped him, and central to their worship of him was not only offering up sacrifices, but it was also hearing the word of the Lord. Joshua read them the book of Deuteronomy. I want you to feel free to read the book of Deuteronomy this afternoon when you got a little free time. Okay? And be sure and do it out loud, because Joshua was doing it out loud. So no speed reading, no skimming. Read the whole thing out loud. It'll take you a little while. Okay? Verse 35. We'll start in 34. Afterward, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly of Israel, including the women and children and the aliens who lived among them. This was not a seeker-friendly service. But it was what God wanted in this situation for these people on this occasion. Well, I think that's what we need to turn every service into. I think every time we get together, we ought to have everybody stand and read the whole book of Deuteronomy to them. No, that's what God wanted them to do on that occasion, and that's what they did, and it was for the glory of God. You know what we need to do? Stay in close fellowship with the one who has made us his. Build that relationship through obedience. And as we do what God says, it will be absolutely amazing how God blesses. God will not tell everybody to do the same thing at all times and all situations. God won't even tell us to do the same thing all the time in every situation. There are some things that God has said that are for all of us all the time. There are other things where God will say, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, I want you to do this. Why does that person get to do that? Because they're doing what I told them to do. You and I need to be obedient to what God has told us and not presume that God tells everybody the same thing. But please understand, folks, when God says something, he means it, and we need to obey.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.